I knew him in college. Bright and ambitious, he went on to law school. As a lawyer, he became known for his ruthless effectiveness. If one thing stood out about my friend, it was his intolerance of weakness, laziness, or incompetence. His attitudes bordered on disdain for anyone who did not have the perseverance to succeed. He despised the homeless and the destitute and had no sympathy for those who could not defend themselves, whether it be multi-billion dollar corporations or pathetic street folk. His mantra, the strong will persevere and survive. I met her in my first parish as an Episcopal priest. She was a bag lady living on the streets. She had once had a home and a family, but when her husband died with her son in a car accident, she eventually lost everything she had. Without skills, she found she could not support herself, so she lost her home and became resigned to begging on the street and getting money from the deposit on soda bottles and cans that she collected in her shopping cart, which she would wheel around the streets of the city. Her attitudes bordered on disdain for all who succeeded financially, for all who seemingly led charmed lives. She would sit and taunt passers-by, spit on those who condescended to her. "The rich will get theirs," she would cry. "The poor will endure," was her mantra. There are so many ways for people to make themselves the center of their universe. Drawing on their own experiences, they judge others through their eyes. And compassion gives way to resentment, disdain, and mistrust. God, I thank you that I am not like those people. Well, today's gospel presents two similar characters. A Pharisee, a good Bible-believing, faith-practicing, liberally giving man, and a publican, a bad, immoral, money-grabbing tax collector. And when all is said and done, neither is a very good person. Both sin, though one sins knowingly and the other unknowingly. One sins by stealing and leading a life that oppresses and destroys those around him. And the other sins by living a life that is built on pride, believing that he is better than others because of who he is and what he has done. Yet in our story, both come to pray. Now let's face it, neither can be justified by what they have done. The Pharisee for his arrogance, and the publican for his merciless approach to life and his work. So it is left up to God to act, and indeed God does act. It is God's manner to look within the heart to see what others don't see. And though both men sin, there seems to be an openness, an awareness, an honesty, if you will, in the publican that is lacking in the Pharisee. The publican can see himself for what he is and turns to God for acceptance. On the other hand, the Pharisee seems to be blind to his dependence on God. He trusts in his ability to win God's favor by what he does. God chooses to honor that glimmer of honesty in the publican and to respond with mercy. Now, perhaps that seems unfair to us. After all, we are people of faith who gather to give thanks to God for God's blessings in our lives. Don't we deserve God's goodness in return? But if you think about it, to expect that God loves us because we love God and try to live moral lives and try to show God how much we love God is in effect to believe that God's love can be bought for a price. The fact of the matter is that righteousness, forgiveness, justification, and even love are gifts that God chooses to give simply because it's God's pleasure to do so. It's called grace, and in itself is a gift, unexpected, unearned, undeserved. It is a gift offered to all. So what does that mean for us? We who faithfully worship God each Sunday do not go back home righteous and justified because we've prayed correctly or have done it all in proper fashion, like all Episcopalians try to do, or have struck a sufficiently humble stance. If we be justified, if we be blessed in our worship and prayer, it is only because God has chosen to bless us. God's blessing is a gift to us, born out of God's deep love for us. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's called mercy. It is only through the mercy of God that we ever return home from church any different than we came. It's only through the mercy of God. Because mercy comes to us by grace, as a gift from God and not as a reward for what we've done, there is no room for us to feel arrogant or superior to anyone else. In fact, it should be freeing for us to know that we are loved by God in spite of our weakness, our self-centeredness, and our failings. Understanding that God chooses to offer us mercy out of love opens us up to experience humility. And humility leads us to live lives of gratitude. Well, what is humility? True humility, says Benedict of Nursia, is simply a measure of how we view ourselves without exaggerated self-approval or exaggerated guilt. Humility is the ability to know ourselves as God knows us, without pretense and in complete honesty. The more we know ourselves, then, the gentler we are with others. Let me read that again. The more we know ourselves in humility, the gentler we are with others. There are moments in our lives when we experience humility as Benedict understood it. Those are the moments when we suddenly see ourselves for who we truly are, to see the wonderful and the painful, the beauty marks and the scars and the warts. And that moment, when it comes, is an opportunity for us to open ourselves up to God's mercy. And that moment offers us a chance to realize that we are not in control of our lives, and instead allow the Spirit of God to enter us and to fill us with healing love. And when that happens, we are transformed, changed into a person a little bit more driven by the power of God's love. Remember my friend and the bag lady? Well, their paths crossed many years ago. It was a very cold afternoon with wind chill factors approaching 40 below zero. And the bag lady was wheeling her shopping cart up and down the hill, wrapped in a scraggly coat. And through the whistling wind, she heard a cry. She looked around and saw that the cry came from a small child, no more than 3 or 4 years old, who was huddled on his doorstep. He had locked himself out of the house, and his parents hadn't heard his feeble knock, and he was too short to push the doorbell. Without a coat, he was close to being frozen. The bag lady wrapped him in her dingy coat and banged for all her worth on the front door. When my friend opened the door, there was a moment of surprise and silence. And then he saw his son peering out from underneath the coat, and realization came to him. He grabbed his son, and tears replaced words as he looked silently at the bag lady. The silence between them spoke what they didn't have to say. Both knew in that moment that she had more than likely saved this little boy's life. In the months following that fateful day, my friend made a decision. He decided to devote his life to helping the poor and the powerless with legal advice and service. And the bag lady? Well, she offered her services to the local shelter and found new life as a counselor of transients, the homeless, and the poor, working with them to rebuild their lives with the help of local businessmen and women. On that winter's day, something happened. Just another good deed? Just coincidence? Maybe. And yet I believe God works in mysterious ways. Both my friend and the bag lady will tell you that God spoke to them that day, both in the silence of their hearts. Both will tell you that on that afternoon they saw themselves for the person each had become. They will tell you that in that moment, the pride and hypocrisy that had infected their lives were revealed, and each experienced the mercy of God. Compassion that had been buried deep within each of them overcame the judgments that life had burned into them, and they learned anew the power of the gospel of love. Each that day found humility, and each went away justified, their lives changed forever. I believe a little miracle happened that day, made possible only by the grace of God. And so it is with us as well. When God's love cuts through our arrogance and weaknesses, and we experience the miracle of transformation in our lives. A transformation that leads us into the presence of the divine. A transformation that enables us to truly walk humbly and softly with our God. Amen.